True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
2-2 on Justin Turner. And he swings and misses strike three. And the ball game is over. The Padres coming from behind. Cubs led by 4 runs at one time today, but the Padres come back and salvage Game 3. The final, San Diego 8, Cubs 7.
Could have left Bush in the game at first, but you wanted Turner to hit in the ninth.
Yeah.
Good explanation. That's Craig Counsell with the yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you... Sometimes things don't work out.
Yeah, no explanation.
No.
That was no explanation.
No explanation.
So that was from yesterday's loss. They had a 7-3 lead. The Padres came back. And big picture, you can feel good about the Cubs taking 2 out of 3 from a team that arrived in Chicago unbeaten.
Yep.
On the other hand, you look at what happened down the stretch, and I think Jesse Rogers asked a fair question. The Michael Bush situation baffles me, and because I'm told – that if he's batting fourth, don't look at it like the traditional cleanup hitter used to be, and that's okay because it's metrics and you just want him in the matchups and all the things about getting him to the plate more often, whatever. But you do also have a situation yesterday where Justin Turner was in the game and Michael Bush had pinch hit, and we heard Jesse ask why Bushy didn't replace Turner and whatever.
Well, he didn't really ask. He answered the question.
He answered the question.
And it is the
it's
right
a good
answer.
Question. But yeah. Here's what bothers me more than anything. I found myself coming to this conclusion yesterday. We had a great interview with Michael Bush on Inside the Clubhouse Saturday morning. The guy could not be a more consummate teammate, more unselfish. He comes across great. He's going to do whatever he's asked, Molly.
Sure.
He's a great guy to have on that roster. But he shouldn't be playing first base either. And Justin Turner certainly shouldn't be playing first base in the ninth inning. You know what bothered me, and I realized this yesterday? Who I wanted to be at first base, and none of those two guys? Cody Bellinger. He catches that ball. He's in that lineup. I know you're laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you.
But it just reminds me of what they didn't do.
Yeah.
And they didn't keep him. That was a salary dump. Similar to Yu Darvish, who was a salary dump.
Yes.
And Cody Petit was what they got in return. And he was
That's a salary
dump. He was sold for cash considerations.
That was just
a dump. And the right answer to who should have been at first base in the ninth inning on Sunday is not Michael Bush A, Justin Turner B. It's Cody Bellinger C. And he's not here. I'm still not happy about it. Doesn't matter. I know you can't go back. But that's a reminder as we talk about what to do about Kyle Tucker. Can the Cubs get in the bidding for a $500 million man?
No.
Doesn't fill you with much confidence when you look what happened at first base and you realize they could have kept Cody and figured it all out.
I did not know you were going to go there. But when you say they could have kept him and figured it all out, that means what exactly?
That means that they only – it only cost them money.
Yeah, but it would have cost them a lot more money. They wanted to get out of that contract because they brought in the other contract. As we've talked about before, had they signed Bregman, I think we'd feel better about letting Bellinger go, but they didn't. They not that they've pocketed that money, but they haven't spent it yet.
Okay.
I think that's the fair way of putting it. I think there's
that's
still
my
a move
point.
To be made.
They haven't spent it yet. There's a hypothetical
deadline.
Move to be made.
Yes, there is.
Tell me what hypothetical move that's going to be, and I'll feel better about the game they lost and could have won.
If they keep winning series, then they're going to be in the market for improvement, and then they have that money to spend. They had a really good series against San Diego. I think that there can be several things true without you. I mean, it's almost like you want to, and I don't blame you.
Are you telling me to get over it?
I'm saying you're.
Are
gonna,
you telling me to get
I'm
over?
I'm saying
it?
He's gone, and he's not here. And you know what? Seiya Suzuki is playing okay as your DH. So you don't. I mean, you're doing okay. Right now, I get it. There's a reason where you should have, you know, you went on the cheap to get a power bat in your lineup with an older guy, whatever. And his wife's from near here, so he wanted to come here. I mean, we know what the story is. I'm just saying, if you had brought the guy in and then moved him in defensively, you know, you didn't need him. Until you felt like you needed him. And then as long as you used him, you should have just left him in so he could play defense in the crucial innings. And unfortunately, there was an error. And is the error charged to Turner or was it charged to Horner? Because it was a low throw. It wasn't that low. Well, you got to make the play.
You got to make the play.
But who got the error
on that play? I'll check the official. I just assumed it was Turner. I didn't even think that it might be anybody else.
Wasn't a perfect throw.
Because, yeah, but you can't expect perfection. Mm. You're there at first base to clean up everybody's mistakes. That wasn't a mistake.
I personally expect perfection.
I don't. I think that it was a ball that should have been caught.
I agree with you, but I just wonder how they scored it.
Well, let's find out, because the error would have gone to Turner, missed catch.
Okay.
Jay Turner. Missed catch.
Yeah, but that's what it was.
Yes, it was a missed catch, missed opportunity. And you can feel good about 2 out of 3 from the Padres. Thank you, Mr. Meatloaf. But I think I wanted more.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I wanted more. More. You're the Cubs. You're going to look back at Japan and regret going to Tokyo because those two losses are going to hurt them.
No, the two losses.
And now this was a winnable game.
The two losses were just playing the Dodgers. Whether you play them in Japan or you play them in Chicago or you play them in L.A., you're going to have a hard time beating the Dodgers this year. That's all that was.
You know what all this conversation and blather about missing Cody Bellinger and all the things yesterday about Justin Turner, we overlooked because we mentioned opening day at Wrigley. Shota was great. We mentioned yesterday, which wasn't so great. In between, Matthew Boyd is good.
Matthew Boyd pitched really
well. Matthew Boyd is really good.
Yeah.
And I loved him post-game. I loved the moment. You know, I would love this. Talking about his grandfather being a Cub fan.
Yeah.
His father being there and coming for the weekend and all the things that represent more than just baseball. And Matthew Boyd in a Cub uniform, prouder than I thought he would be because I didn't know all this. And he gets to the mound and he has been has he given up a run yet? In 2 starts, I don't think he has.
He's been better than expected, and he's been better than Kyle Hendricks. He's been a better fifth starter, and he's the fourth starter, let's be honest. But he's you feel good about him. Again, a lefty, 2 years removed from surgery, you just feel like he looks like a seriously good addition to their rotation.
I totally agree.
And I worry about Ben Brown because he looked wild as
He looked
all
wild. His stuff was working.
Yeah.
He had all the spin. He had all the, you know, nastiness, but he could not command anything.
He's going to be a good pitcher.
All over the place.
It might take longer than you think.
Well, you know what, though? He also may be a better fit in the bullpen.
No?
Find myself wondering that when he was walking his fourth batter yesterday.
I think they got Bellinger's gone. I mean,
okay.
I just
I know. I had to get that out of my system.
Okay, that's fine.
I know that.
And that's fair.
I know that. I just had to, okay. But, enough already with this. Who should have been there? You could have had Cody Bellinger. He's pretty good.
You could have had your starting. You could have had your starter in there. Or do you think that Bush wouldn't be a starter if Bellinger were here?
No, he wouldn't be.
Okay.
I don't think he would be. But you'd have to make a decision on Bush. But the thing is, they brought him back and they put confidence in him because they believed in him. But my point about this early season is kind of odd how little they believe in him.
Well, he comes a lot cheaper than the other guy.
That's true.
It's one of the reasons you believe in someone.
I know. All right. But I think that's
got a good salary.
So back to Saturday, Matthew Boyd in the mound, those baby blue uniforms, which got a lot of positive feedback. I'm not sure I was crazy about him at first.
Yeah, it seemed weird to me.
It seemed a little bit odd. They're selling off the charts.
And I don't blame people
Crane
for
Kenny
buying them.
Said they're selling
Let
more
me
of
tell
those.
You that's why.
He's happy.
That's why they're using them.
Crane's happy.
Okay, that's why they're using uniforms like that, because they're selling off the shelves.
So,
I like seeing teams in their traditional uniforms.
I do too, especially on Saturday, because Saturday was Ian Happ's 1,000th game, correct?
Mm.
That was Saturday's 1,000 games for Ian Happ.
Pretty good.
He forever is going to be in that uniform commemorating his 1,000th game. I would think that a guy who he should have the regular home pinstripes on in all the pictures and all the memories. No?
Instead of the new merch?
Yeah, the new merch. I mean,
the new merch. I had a lot of mixed reaction on the new merch from different people over the weekend. I don't mind it as long as it's not like for a whole series. Here's the other thing that was good. And this would have been I'm sure for a lot of Cub fans, typically that kind of stuff, those kind are worn on Fridays.
Yes.
Friday was.
I wondered why.
Why they didn't?
Yeah.
Because it would have been an outrage.
Home opener.
There would have been absolute outrage.
Outrage is too strong for me to have that feeling. But in 5 years from now, when somebody mentions it, they show me a picture of Ian Happ playing in his 1,000th game at Wrigley Field, I'll be like, why were they wearing softball uniforms again?
Can we ask the question why? I know he made a spectacular catch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
But they were up 7-0.
And?
It's not the World Series, David. It's not even against the Cardinals or the Brewers. Like, you didn't need to leave your feet.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
That is the worst take of the morning.
No.
Oh my gosh.
That was way too overzealous. You know, a week and a half into the season, and you could have really hurt yourself.
Dustin, come on, go back and look at the replay. This guy left his feet. He made the toughest catch. There won't be a higher degree of difficulty catch the rest of the year.
Do you like it at the end of the year when the guy wins a gold glove? That's how you win a gold glove. You make that play. You don't injure yourself.
That's how you find yourself on the 15-day IL.
This wasn't Jim Edmonds.
He's not on the 15-day.
This wasn't diving for the sake of diving and hoping that you're going to get like a 9.8
Are you sure?
From the judge. Yes.
You're sure?
Okay. I'm pretty sure.
I think he saw the play and made the play. And I don't think you should complain about that. And he's not on the IL.
7-0.
It's just a weird thing.
7-0, you're leaving your feet and belly flopping on the turf. I don't know that you need to do that.
That's a competitor.
Let me ask
that's
that.
A gold glove outfielder.
When Ovechkin scored that goal and then turned around and slid across the ice, were you thinking
slightly different?
That guy could
the all-time leading scorer in the history of the sport versus a guy diving in a 7-0 game.
Why did he get off his skates?
If he had hot dogged it and just kind of nonchalantly let it bounce and played the double off the wall or whatever, you'd been like.
I would have been like nothing.
Ian Happ is
nothing.
He's slowed down.
I would not have said that.
Those gold gloves are tainted. That's really something. I did not expect you to go there.
That was like a highlight play. The guy made a hell of a play.
It was just unnecessary. It was fun. Like, listen, I jumped off the couch. I mean, it was great. But then thinking about it, Why did you jump off the couch?
It was 7-0. There was no excitment to be had.
Why were you still watching?
Spectacular. It was a spectacular play.
Don't you have to turn it off if it gets to 7? Isn't that the Dustin Slaughter rule?
That was a really good catch.
I might admit
catch.
That I might have went away from it for a little bit yesterday and then thought, oh my gosh, got to turn this back on.
Yeah, yesterday was disappointing.
Yeah,
Friday was fun. Saturday was better. And Sunday was really disappointing. That first inning took forever.
Yeah,
forever.
Very long.
And then you thought, well, they scored 5 runs and they're up 7-3.
I thought, man, their offense is good, honestly. I thought that all of our concerns were misplaced.
I just watched it again, the highlight. I can't believe you think he didn't need to leave his feet. He had to leave his feet.
I know.
Really, he didn't need to touch it.
What was he saving? What was he saving?
He was
play the double there. Son.
Oh my gosh!
Call him in the front, manager's
just
office.
Just get in front of the ball.
You want? Hey. He doesn't have that. He got to it as fast as he could have. That was a great catch.
Yeah, I think he's trolling us. I don't think. Okay. That's a sincere
All right. It worked. I fell for it. Because I didn't think you would go there.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Tony is in Joliet. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Yeah, it's really hard not to just jump on what Dustin just said, but I'm sure you guys got a lot of people waiting. So I want to get 2 points in real quick. First one, you know, guys, watching that Duke game, I believe one thing. When you're putting together a recipe for an upset, and you tell your kids, we are holding the best ingredient we can hold, guys. We're playing kids that have never been tested. We keep this sucker close, and we're there within 5 minutes. They've never been in that situation. They're going to start to play not to lose instead of play to win. And if Proctor wasn't the biggest example of that.
Yeah, he missed the front end. And
You know, you start looking at the basketball rim as if it's a golf hole. It mentally does it. And I just think it was a classic example that the best thing that could have happened to Duke, and it's sad that it didn't, if they could have won one close, lost one close in the year, because it's the best lesson you can have. If you haven't had it that way, you can't teach it. Point, guys, the Cubs thing, that game, it was like an absolute dagger. And it was a dagger because it was like, yeah, it's early, Dave, it's early, but man, it reminded me, is this going to be like last year again?
I had the same feeling, Tony. You're right. That's a great point. They blew 26 saves last year.
Oh, I know.
Tony, thanks for calling. Those are two really good points.
Those are two great points.
Yeah. I had the familiar feeling of dread. Like, don't get to the ninth inning. Don't go to the bullpen. Don't get to the closer. Because he's not closing anything. Just opening up a can of worms again. Goodness sakes. I feel shaky about the bullpen. We had a good conversation with Tommy Hotovy on Friday.
Yes.
Made us feel better about, you know, well, everything's going to be fine.
Yes.
And then Shota goes out and Presley holds on.
Yes.
Saturday, they come in and you feel okay. And then
yesterday. You felt great Saturday. Matthew Boyd made you feel good about their rotation. Yesterday was an aberration. And, you know, it's a pity that you had to go through so many people. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you because you just, you know, unfortunately, Ben Brown, from the minute the guy got on the bump.
You knew it was going to be trouble.
You knew it was going to be a long.
So if they respond to this Sunday's meltdown the way they did to last Sunday's meltdown, they're about to begin a 5-game winning streak.
They had a 5-game winning streak. That's the problem is that game cost you your sixth straight game, which you had pretty much decided to win when you went up 7-3.
Makes it easier to digest, maybe, because you just had won 5 in a row. You do. And if you win tonight with Justin Steele on the mound, as you should, Evaldi's on the mound for the Rangers. Yes. The Rangers are a very good team, but they have a good lineup. But Justin Steele should continue this streak. Well, I guess Ben Brown broke it, but Shota was good. Boyd was even better. He was just as good.
Yeah, Shota's been real good.
Shota's the ace.
No question.
I'm not conceding that. I'm just
I think we all know.
Acknowledging that.
Yes.
He's the ace. Justin Steele tonight can have his best outing of the season because we haven't seen him really be that sharp as he needs to be. So he's a good opportunity tonight.
What would Belly do if he were playing tonight?
Don't troll me.
I'm not sure.
Any more than Dustin just did. Okay. I just was being honest about my Bellinger thought.
I know you felt that way for a while.
And I just wanted to, yesterday when that happened, I'm like, well, yeah, it's an either or situation. If you have Turner or you have Bush, but you could have avoided all these either ors by just paying the money. And I know what it was. Let's just call it what it was.
And speaking about Saturday, how about Carson Kelly again?
How about that?
You know, we talk about Boyd and his Chicago connection. You still can't tell me where Kelly is from.
I failed. I was out there Friday. I was talking to people, and I did not get that answer. Damn, and I want to know. Where is he from? What side of town is he from?
Yeah, just where? What neighborhood? What is he from?
What parish?
One of the outer reaches? Yeah. Just give us the locale.
I need to find this out.
Yeah.
I'm going to find this out.
Someone needs to.
Because Carson Kelly has been very good. He had another big day at the plate.
Oh, he was huge. He had four RBI, is that right?
That's one of the areas and positions that we came into the season really.
Those two guys together are beating the heck out of the ball.
They
seriously
are. And we thought the White Sox had catching depth. Look at the Cubs. Look at the Cubs.
Give the Sox a few years, will you?
Kyle Teal needs to come up. Oh, your guy Chase Mydroth? Third homer yesterday. He'll be up sooner rather than later. I think he's going to beat Colson Montgomery to the majors.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, they were trying to sync those guys up together.
Don't do it.
He's ahead.
Bring up
of them.
Mydroth. Put him at shortstop. You have an offense that needs some oomph. And Chase Mydroth sitting the ball, seeing it very well at AAA. I'd bring him up sooner rather than later. You're not scoring runs.
Who else? Someone went nuts again. Was it Cam Smith? Had another big outing.
Hagen Smith was outstanding at Birmingham.
Cam Smith.
Where am I? You're right on. He had four innings and he was lights out.
Yeah, he was excellent. So we like to see that. That too.
Paying attention to the minors is better than paying attention to the majors if you're a Sox fan.
Yeah, you just want to take a break for a little bit.
It's April 7th.
They do have the two wins.
It's April 7th. All right, let's talk hoops.
It took until the 11th game to get to two wins. And they're now they've got it done. Well, they had it done a lot earlier, but now it's nine. All right, we got Mike DeCourcy. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk hoops. We'll talk about game plans for tonight. We'll talk about who was at fault for the big choke. Don't call it a choke. Because, you know, they're just college kids, and they're out there. It's not like they're paid athletes.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute. Oh, something went wrong. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jill, a registered dietitian. When I meet with patients, they usually think I'm going to tell them to throw out their favorite snacks. But don't worry, your Cheetos are safe. That's not how this works. I help my patients build healthier habits based on their lifestyle and goals without guilt or restriction. Nourish connects dietitians like me with people like you who are ready to take control of their health. Your appointments could be fully covered through your insurance since 94% of Nourish patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Mike DeCourcy talking college hoops with Mully and Haw. Sporting News college hoops columnist. Big Ten Network studio analyst. He's a Liverpool supporter, but we let him on anyways. Mike DeCourcy with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Mike DeCourcy, especially this time of year. And, of course, the championship game tonight. And he joins Mully and Haw on the Score guest line. Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Aturo.com. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Mully. How are you?
Well, we're all fired up. I mean, that was both those games paid off, right? Both of those games we had talked about. Wow, you know, you got all these great teams. Those games were sensational. And, you know, it was amazing to see Florida with the kind of comeback. They're down 8 points at the half. And then they came out and they were a different team. And, you know, you look at what they managed to do winning that game, kind of going away. I mean, they kind of took control, and you just marveled at what a great outing. Then the late game is Duke. And honest to God, I watched that game, and I was texting these guys on our little group chat. I don't know what just happened. I cannot believe what I just saw. It was like they stopped playing at some point. I've never seen Duke run a foul like that. And God bless Houston. What a tough-minded team to stay on it to the point where you're not even letting them inbound the ball. Wow, was that something.
Yeah, I thought that as the final 8 minutes or so were going on, during the four-minute timeout, I started charting the shots that Cooper Flagg had been taking over the previous four to six minutes. Because I could feel it. I could see it that I had said to you guys that the number one thing that had to happen for Duke was just don't let Houston get in your head and you'll be fine. It's not easy to do that, but don't let the challenge of going against that defense get to you or you'll lose. If you just play, you'll win. And they did for 30, 32 minutes. They played the way they're capable of playing, and they were up 14 points. The Mason Gillis technical was an egregious play. I mean, you just don't do things like that in a game like that. The stage is too big. Everybody's watching. You're not getting away with anything like that. So why? I mean, what's the point? Even if it means you give up the rebound, what's the point? And that was one of the things that was interesting to me is I have this debate with a lot of people around college basketball who insist you have to be old, you have to have veterans, that's what makes the difference. And think about it. Mason Gillis does that. I think that turned into something like a 4 to 5 point possession there that made a significant difference in cutting the lead down. That was a massive error. Then you have Sion James unable to inbound the basketball, which made a huge difference. I mean, that was problematic. And then Tyrese Proctor goes to the line, and this is the front end of a 1-on-1.
Right.
And before that, besides, he's good enough I'm going to make these shots. And so he takes a foul when he could have passed it to someone who's a better free throw shooter, or he could have dribbled toward the corner and taken more time off the clock. And he takes the foul, I'm good, and then he goes up and misses the free throw. Those guys are all veterans. They are the veteran players on the team. I'm not saying the freshmen covered themselves in glory, but having veterans didn't make a difference.
Mike, I think that Duke losing got more attention or as much as Houston winning, and that is probably on brand for any team coached by Kelvin Sampson. And I just wonder, as we get to the national championship game tonight, if Houston wins it, it will be their first ever and certainly his first ever. When you think about great coaches in the game, you don't often think of him first or in that first tier necessarily unless you cover the sport like you do. What does tonight mean to the reputation and maybe the legacy of Kelvin Sampson?
Yeah, I think it will change perception of him. It doesn't change the reality of him. The reality of him is it's astonishing that they are in tonight, not just because of the comeback they had to make in order to do that. But, you know, people talk about Cinderellas and how we didn't have any Cinderellas. Do you realize what Houston was when he walked in 11 years ago? I mean, it was like going into a junkyard and finding an old rusty bucket and then fixing it up and turning it into something that can win the Daytona 500. That place was absolutely nowhere. I when I covered Memphis back in the mid 90s, I think it was the 95-96 season, the Tigers were sent on to a road game there. They were in the same conference, Conference USA, and went down to what was then Hoffines Pavilion. Has now been fixed up into a first-class arena called the Fertitta Center. There were about 900 people at the game. It placed 10,000. And Memphis was ranked in the top 10 at that point. And it didn't matter. Nobody wanted to go to a Houston game. And now they're selling out. Now they're winning 30-plus games. And now they're in the national championship game. That is almost entirely Kelvin Sampson's work. People had to listen to him and say, yes, we can do that, and yes, we can. Here's the money. And Fertitta, who I mentioned, is a billionaire who helped fund some of the projects they wanted to do. But it was all Kelvin's vision.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that was a really special finish for them. I would imagine now they go into tonight's game knowing that Walter Clayton Jr. might be the best player of this tournament. You know, the first guy, I laughed aloud at that, first guy since Larry Bird in 1979 with back-to-back 30-point games in the Elite Eight and the Final Four. I mean, you just can't let that guy beat you, right? You're going to have to take whoever you have to take and try to deny.
Well, that is what some of the teams have done, and to varying degrees it's worked to keep them competitive. It hasn't kept Florida from advancing,
right?
But it's something that Houston is uniquely equipped to do because they don't make mistakes on the opposite ends of those sorts of plays. So if they double team Walter Clayton, he's going to know he's in a double team, as opposed to some of the other teams that have done that to him. And what Florida has to have done is that when that happens, Walter can't just say, okay, you guys beat him. You're now playing 4-on-3, you beat them, because they won't beat them. We've seen that now. We saw it with the Texas Tech game when they doubled hard against Walter, and he just said, okay, not my ball, your ball, go make a play. And they can't do that. That's not who they are. The other guys on that team are really good college basketball players, but they are not offensive generators. They are recipients. It all comes from Clayton, and he can't just be content to allow himself to be taken out of the game. Whatever it is he has to do in order to make it happen, and he did it successfully Sunday night, Saturday night. He has to do that, and there are varying ways to attack a double team, including, and he's very good at this, just backing away from it and shooting over it. He's really good up to 35 feet. He's got unbelievable range. So there will have to be times when he does that. But the one thing he can't do is concede that the double team is effective and take him and allow him to be taken out of the game.
Mike, in your mind, what did Cooper Flagg missing the fadeaway jumper that would have won the game do to his Duke legacy, if it altered it at all? And will it have any impact on his decision whether or not to return to Duke for a second year, which people would be surprised by, or to enter the NBA draft?
Yeah, it's hard for me to see him declining the opportunity to become the number one overall pick. You just don't know what might happen, and I don't think it would mean necessarily. Like, him coming back is not going to make it a debate or anything. If he had a healthy sophomore season, he's going to be an even more desired number one pick. He's just a phenomenal talent. So it's not about that. But there is the risk of injury, and it's not as dangerous it is as it was 5 years ago, because he can still make a bunch of money playing at Duke if he were to return. Whereas in 2018 or 19, he would have been risking all or nothing. I mean, if he had gotten injured then he might have lost the one pick. He might have lost a lot. He might have, you know, you never know how bad an injury could be. So coming back is not as much of risk as it was then, but it's still something that a player at that level hasn't really ever done. I mean, I guess all the way back to Tim Duncan, I guess that would be the last time it happened. And Tim Duncan was a different guy, and it worked out great for him. He still became one of the greatest players in the history of the game. But I doubt that Cooper would do it. What it did to his legacy, honestly, was, I mean, he's still, for the majority of selectors, not the Sporting News, but for the majority of selectors, is the National Player of the Year. That's not going away. I mean, he's always going to be that. He won the Wooden Award, the Naismith Award, and multiple others. But the difference is that I'm sitting there pondering, as they're up 8 or they're up 14 or whatever, does he have a chance to have the greatest freshman season in the history of college basketball? That's probably what I would have written.
Wow.
As my column. He is on the crest of becoming the greatest freshman ever to play. And, you know, and I had the whole lead written, Mike. You know how this goes, Dave. You guys, I mean, I had it all figured out, and it was going to be an easy one, and it was going to be good too. I liked my lead, but it got wiped away. I think he could have made that claim if they had won the game, but certainly not now.
Yeah, I think we both still look at games like that.
You love that 14-point lead.
Oh my God!
You're like, okay, here we go.
Tear that one up. I want to be respectful of how I say this, but John Shire's from here, and you know everybody loves the local guys. Made good. Did he do enough in the end of that game? Did he push every button? People are asking, did they choke down the stretch? That's very harsh, but. What about the coach as opposed to the player, right?
I think what they needed to do was have some sort of wrinkle or completely different inbounds play. Every inbounds play that they struggled with looked exactly the same in so many ways. It was Cion James inbounding the ball, presumed recipients all lining up beyond the foul line and then running in different directions toward the ball to try to get open. I mean, it was basically everything I saw, and I've checked with some coaches. Was there something I missed in those? And I haven't gotten any response that said, no, there wasn't anything. There was something you missed. There's this play we call the football play now, mm-hmm. where everybody lines up on the baseline and then different guys basically run different patterns out of off the alleged line of scrimmage. I don't know if you guys have.
Yep.
So that one doesn't work 100% of the time, but it's hard not to work because everybody stops in different spots and it's hard for the defenders to always be there. And they didn't run anything like that. They just, and even after a timeout, they just seemed to do, like I said, a variation on the same concept. If it's not like they're not all running the exact same pattern every time coming back to the ball, but it's always coming back to the ball. And Houston was all over that. And really, if they inbound the ball after they threw it away, before they threw the ball away, if they inbound the ball after they gave up the three-pointer to Emmanuel Sharp, if they inbound the ball successfully there, they still almost certainly win because they were up yes. three. The ball would have been inbounds at about 20 seconds-ish, somewhere in there. If they inbound successfully to Cooper or Konkanipal, they probably make a free throw, and then it's 4, and they probably win. But they couldn't pull that off. Their struggle to inbound the ball was so profound.
Mike, 30 seconds. Who wins tonight?
You know, it's an interesting one. I think Houston is a better basketball team in a lot of ways, but if Houston wins, they may be the least talented team ever to win it. And that's what's – I have a hard time getting over that hurdle. No first-round picks since 1987. There's never been a team that didn't win it with a first-round – that won it that didn't have a first-round pick. Another friend of mine, Dave Glenn from the Atlanta, the ACC area, points out that nobody that was a top – that didn't have a top 30 pick since we had a draft. And I don't know whether Houston has one.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That
enjoy the game.
Is Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten. We're great stuff. You can pre-write that story.
Right now, tonight?
Yeah.
You got it already written?
Got it, yeah.
Walter Clayton Jr. leads the Florida Gators over...
No, I'm saying, yeah, you can pre-write the least talented champion.
Yeah. You get both.
Yeah, you got it.
You got both outcomes.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Special happens. Gotta acknowledge that. Billy, Hall of Fame.
Come on.
I'm not going to say anything now, but I got some stuff for you guys tomorrow. I promise you, all right? Listen, I appreciate you guys. I do. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys. What we got?
Hall of Fame on three. 1, 2, 3.
Hall of Fame!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Great moment. After the game yesterday, the players, they doused Billy Donovan.
Yeah, they did. It was
gave
cool.
A little shower.
It was nice to see that level of appreciation and respect for their head coach who went into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame on Saturday, mostly for what he accomplished at the college level.
19 years at Florida?
19 years.
I didn't realize he was there that long.
He won 2 national championships.
Oh, I know.
500 victories between Marshall and Florida. Forget he was at Marshall before Florida.
Yeah.
And comes back in between Friday's victory at home, Sunday's victory in Charlotte, and Billy Donovan honored as a Hall of Fame inductee. And that is the only time this year you will hear Billy Donovan short on words.
That's funny.
Everything else is like the long, detailed, clarifying explanation of basketball things. He does as good of a job as any coach that we have in town of communicating. And there, I think he was at a loss for words, kind of the humility coming out in Billy Donovan.
I think Billy Donovan is great talking about basketball. I love hearing what he has to say, and I love having conversations with him. I would not want to transcribe.
And you're right.
I'm just being honest. That's a lot of typing.
You would not want to be that guy having to transcribe.
No.
You would hope that you'd have some sort of program in your phone that would transcribe for you.
Exactly.
But he's got to feel good about obviously getting into the Hall of Fame and being a basketball immortal and that being part of his legacy.
Fantastic.
And in the present, he's got to feel good about where his Bulls team is right now and has been playing since the break, or since really the trade.
So they play Friday night. They get a victory. He goes to San Antonio.
Yep.
He gets in the Hall of Fame, and he's back for like an afternoon game to
quick
win,
turnaround
where they win again. I mean,
because the Bulls don't play many Sunday afternoon games.
Like, that's head spinning.
Yeah, it's head spinning, and I'm sure that he didn't want anything to detract from his day job.
Yeah.
So if it was about him, and yet you don't want to disrespect the honor. So he's got to show up.
Yes, of course.
And he did, and then he referenced how humble he felt in the presence of legends.
Yeah,
Coach K, Julius Erving, Carmelo Anthony, and company. So. Good for Billy Donovan. It's well-deserving from Providence College, where he was backcourt in the Final Four.
Great player.
Great coach in college in Florida, and never had a losing season in OKC, and doing his best with the Bulls to get them into the playoffs.
Arguably his best job. He's done a Hall of Fame job this year with this team. I'm just saying, it's been pretty good all the way around, and you know, too good to fail. Too good to actually be able to you know, not be involved in a play-in run.
Too legit to quit.
He's too legit to quit. Very good. Kind of antiquated, but good. Like it. We got a ton for you. We're going to be right back. It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers. the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.